This is an interview with Bruce Holland, founder of the Virtual Group Business Consultants Limited. Bruce is known as the Workplace Wizard. He helps large mature organisations get their people out of silos, creating workplaces that are focused, fast and flexible. Today, Bruce is talking about the secrets of irresistible leadership. Another one of your secrets you talk about is that irresistible leaders know that systems thinking is the only way to crack wicked problems. Wicked problems. Very interesting. By systems thinking, you say, you mean that seeing the whole problem with all its connections, time lags, and implications. Now tell me more about that.
Well, let's start with wicked problems. Wicked problems is a sort of a computer term. And why it's difficult to solve it, but also there's a almost a cultural reason that, which is that nobody actually agrees what the problem is.
Okay.
So when it comes to organisation, there's all sorts of these sorts of problems around, and they are wicked problems. Now we try to solve them usually thinking about analysis, and when we think about analysis, we take the problem, we try and break it down. But like my watch here. I took it apart. I wanted to find out what made that watch work. I could take it apart and see all the bits, get an idea of how it worked, put it back together, and then we'd have a deeper understanding of how a watch works. Trouble is that people aren't like that. They're not machines. You can't take them apart, see how they work. In fact, what's really important in any organisation or any person or any relationship is what we call emergence. And emergence is something that comes very much out of systems thinking. Emergence is the idea that people following very simple rules will end up emerging into something that's much bigger than any of them thought. The classic example is ants. Well, if you try to understand how ants work, then it's said that there's really only three rules. Ants have to walk randomly until they find food. That's rule number one. When they find food, they have to leave a scent. That's rule number two. And rule number three is to follow the scent. So each ant with those rules built into it, you know, through evolution, real simple rules. I mean, how easy? Walk randomly, leave a scent, follow the scent. Pretty easy little rules. Even an ant can understand that. But through that, we get the most incredibly powerful living system. I don't know about you, but I've got ants in my house, and I've tried for years to get rid of those ants. And they're almost impossible to eradicate. We've had experts in, a couple of years later, and back of the ants again, and they're making these wee trials to find the food, they're leaving the scent, they're following the scent, and doing what ants do. But, I mean, wherever science are looking at it, these behaviours that emerge out of really simple rules that seem to be the way that the world's running, and this is very much a systems thing. So another example, if you were sitting, if you went to the Petone Wharf and you looked down off the wharf, the chances are you'd see the schools of little fish floating around or swimming around. And they don't just swim around in aimless ways. They seem to swim around as though they were a single animal. They all go up and then they all swing down and they float around to the left and they come to the right. And then as though some chief executive fish sort of says, okay, everybody do a roundabout swirl now. They do a roundabout swirl. Now, what they've tried to do in a place called the Institute of Santa Fe is to replicate some of those behaviours on a computer. They have the best computers, Cray computers, they have the best brains in the world, Nobel Prize winners. And they could not make even 50 of these, we called them Boyds, little bots on the computer, swim in anything like the way that the thousands and thousands of fish in Petone Wharf swim. Then someone had a bright idea, and his name was Craig Reynolds. And Craig Reynolds put into each fish, or each Boyd, three little rules, and miraculously, the whole thing emerged into the way that these fish actually swim. And the three rules, and I think these are beautiful, I think they're actually probably really, there's something very magical about these rules. The rules were keep moving, stay close to your neighbour, and don't bump into anything. Since reading about this, I've experimented with a whole lot of different organisations. And there's something, as I say, really beautiful about those rules. A, they're easy to remember, but B, they actually, if we could get every person in an organisation to actually live those three rules.
Mm.
Maybe there's a fourth one, I think, something about leaving a scent.
Mm.
But if we could get everybody to leave those, you know, keep moving, in other words, keep developing, keep keep trying at the front, keep learning, keep growing.
Yep.
Stay close to your neighbours means keep close to your colleagues and to your customers and to people who are important to communication. Think about the what's in between us as much as what's not in between us. And the third one's about don't bump into anything. It's really about not being too competitive, but try being collaborative, working together, not banging into each other and trying to, you know, I'm better than you, and perhaps trying to, you know, that might be okay when you've got competing teams, but within a team it's an absolute disaster. I think even between competing teams it's often way and truly overplayed. Anyway, systems thinking gives you really strong insights into why these sorts of things emerge. And when you think about emergence, it's like vitally important, because following simple rules like that is what makes trust emerge. It's what makes love emerge. It's what makes relationships emerge. It's what makes just about anything of any value in an organisation or even in a society come about. So systems thinking is partly about that. The other really important thing about systems thinking is that often by analysing, we're not seeing the whole thing. So we might end up thinking about a problem and trying to fix it, only to find that it occurs somewhere else, because we hadn't thought that. You know, the classic example is the new chief executive comes in, wants to make a difference to the profit, so he cuts back on training or research. And for the first 2 years, he succeeds, and then he disappears, and the next guy comes in, and what happens is he inherits an organisation that's got no trained people and no products. So analytical thinking would tend to say that because it's short term and it's achieving what we want, and systems thinking would say, no, you've actually got to think about the time lags and the connections back to other things. And so it ends up doing quite different things. One of the classic examples, I was working with the government auditor and his people, and we were talking about auditing and accounting, and I mean, you know how much you know about accounting, but it started in about the 1400s, and they had cash accounting, you know, the amount of cash that came in and the amount of cash that went out, and the difference was whether you're successful or not. And then a few years ago, and in government, it's only a few years ago, they had accrual accounting, where we started to match the expenses of this year with the revenues of this year. So we ended up with an indication of how much profit we made within a year, which was a quite different measure than the cash one, because cash can come at different times. But what the auditors, when we were working with them, thinking about systems thinking, came to the realisation was that actually today, to be successful, we ought to be thinking not in terms of accrual accounting, but generational accounting. And when I talk about generation accounting, I'm talking about matching this generation's costs with this generation's benefits. And so, you know, well, if you did that, then nearly every decision that we make would probably, that we're making under accrual accounting, it probably wouldn't make any sense under generation.
Much more long term.
So, you know, you'd be doing things like investing in cars that have batteries, and you'd be thinking about small micro power plants, and you'd be thinking about quite differently about the environment and so on, because we're thinking now about the cost to this generation and the benefits to this generation. And so systems thinking is also about this longer time period and the connections. It's much deeper than that too, and it's actually a very, very big subject. We try to do it in one module, but it's a real challenge.